Joyful Manifestation is being broadcast live on iHeart, iTunes, and many, many other stations.
Hi, this is Sugandhi Iyer for the Joyful Manifestation Show, the High Vibration Show. Welcome back. It's a high vibration show, but today we're going to bring in a couple of minutes of not so high vibration, just to make a point, basically. And so, yes, you must forgive me for that right at the offset, right at the start. So what happened is, it was around 7 o'clock, 7 p.m. It was dark. And we wanted to go for a movie. So we had a driver come to drive our car. It's not a car, really. It's more of a SUV. And the reason we did that is because it's dark and my family did not want me to drive in the city in peak traffic, because that's when, you know, 6:30 is when we would have left. And so that's when there's going to be peak traffic, especially in that particular road. They're building a metro overhead. And anyway, that road itself used to be nice, but now it's pretty crowded. And remember, I said that I'm just going to say it the way it is in the city. So, yes, so darkness, peak traffic, unruly peak traffic. And so my family didn't want me to drive, even though, yes, I could have driven. So think about it now. Already city energy, peak traffic, city energy in darkness. Already that is the setting, that is the background. So this is not a long drive, long, beautiful, set amidst greenery, open highways. You know, there's hardly any traffic here on the highways. Hardly. It's not that. This is going to be something where the background and the atmosphere was already set as darkness, peak traffic, unruly peak traffic, the level of which you cannot even imagine. And so we had a driver. And now because of that, I could look around. So that's what we were doing in the car. We were looking around because somebody else was driving. And then we were going forward in this traffic. And yes, you know, only a few of our family members like to go out in the evening or darkness. Other people stay home, father, etc. They all like to stay home. So we were going ahead and the car was halting a lot because of the traffic. We were moving at snail speed. And I suddenly saw onto my left, on my left, an aquarium. And I was like, oh, fishes, yay. So they were pretty fishes in aquarium. So I was looking. And in the glass window was a row of, I think they are wine glasses, you know, very narrow wine glasses. And in each wine glass was a fish. And I've never seen something like this before. I have seen fishes in small bowls, and they do keep them sometimes in certain places. And I've always walked up and I've said, look, you need to get, please, you need to get a bigger aquarium for this fish. So for a bowl itself, I would walk up to people. Whenever I saw it, I would walk up and let them know. You know, after they do it, you know, who knows? Because we don't, this is when we're traveling. So this time I saw this row, I mean, huge row, a long row, line of wine glasses, goblets, and not broad ones, with a fish in it. Each one had a fish swimming around. And, well, what's it going to be doing? Going around in circles, right? In its own, in that little place. So I have never seen something like this. So that basically I don't know, it shocked me, I suppose, because I've never seen something like this. And I immediately looked at the number. There's a number on that shop front, and I called them and I said, you've put fishes in these little glasses, you know, with the stem, those narrow glasses. I said, you need to put it into a bigger aquarium setting. I mean, you can't have a fish in a glass. Where is it going to swim? It doesn't have room. Well, you know, obviously the owner of the shop was not a very enlightened person, and he came back with, I mean, if he was, he wouldn't be doing it in the first place, correct? And he came back with, well, this is how they're supposed to be, and what do you want me to do? You want me to build them a palace? What kind of response is that? I was so shocked with this reply, and I said, you don't have to build a palace, but you could certainly keep these fishes in a bigger bowl or aquarium, you know, bigger glass enclosement. I mean, what is that word? Enclosure, yeah. So he was pretty offensive, I suppose, because he was sticking to his story. And I felt bad for the fish. Because I've never seen this before. I've never seen a fish kept on display in a wine glass. And so, yeah, that prompted me to call and, you know, tell him to do something else. And he was, do you want me to build a palace for it? Do you think I'm really going to build a palace for it? So, well, after I told him some things like, this is not how you should keep fish. The call ended, but you see, already the city and its desire to make money at any cost. Isn't that what they do? They cement everything up and they keep building and constructing. So that desire or greedy desire, I think it's greed. It's not just plain beautiful desire, it's greed to make as much money with spending very little was already in the air. So I was already attracting a setting, an atmosphere of city life was already descending, was already put into place, and I walked into it. Of course, you know, fish are beautiful. I love to watch them. They're so colorful and they always look like they're smiling, you know? And it's so beautiful when you see them in a good setting with a lot of place to swim. And the best is, of course, you know, when you're in their natural environment. And so that brought this thing about contrast, you know, the law of attraction and contrast. And, already the dark setting and the traffic, and then the people who want to make money at any cost. Vis-a-vis a long, beautiful, luxurious drive. Open highways, no pollution. I mean, anyway, the AC is always on, so we're not subject to that. But no other cars. I mean, you could go long distances and not see another car in farmlands and trees and hills and mountains and lakes and ponds and rivers and lotuses and beauty. Look at the contrast. One is an abundant supply of nature for all of, want to make it very, well, holy, then you would say God's creatures. But you could also say creatures, correct? All of nature, an abundant supply. Look at the difference. One is abundance and one is lack. How can you keep a fish in a wine glass? Hours and hours on end, and I bet you these fishes are on permanent display over there in that window. And now, this current place that I am. I'm back to our favorite hotel and looking at the same mountain, trees and coconut trees and hills and mountains and ranges. And today the sun did not rise above this particular mountain peak because it's cloudy and it looks like it's going to rain anytime. A lot of clouds in the sky. And so, yes, it's very cloudy and the sun, we cannot see the sun today, but it's beautiful setting for the Thunder God songs, which we will play. But we want to celebrate abundance. We want to celebrate joy for every creature, for every creature. A fish has consciousness, you know, it's beautiful and they look so sweet and gentle and they really look like they're smiling, especially, you know, if there's a huge aquarium and they come up to the glass and they're looking at you, really looking at you. And it's so beautiful to see them when there is abundance, when there is provision, when there is joy. And the setting is not dark. And where the setting becomes something of lack. And then lack is shown in so many ways, you know, with the crowded traffic and four people on a bike driving. I mean, come on, it's night. I mean, why would you do that anyways, correct? Or a fish in a wine glass. And there was a huge lineup of those glasses. And we were saying to ourselves, you know, doesn't the fish need room to swim in? It needs room. It needs to, you know, take a lap or two. A very long lap. Isn't that what we want for people when they go into swimming pools? Unless it's a jacuzzi, right? And they're just sitting around, hanging around in some warm, cozy water. But if you're really swimming, you would want a long lap. You wouldn't want to turn around in a second, which is what the fish had to do. So yes, we wanted to show you the difference between the presence of abundance, vis-a-vis the opposite of that. And yes, that is what we generally avoid. So we avoid going out in the night into such peak traffic. You know, and we did have a solution. We did get a driver, so a chauffeur, a driver, and we sat behind, and there are very pretty shops, you know, with good stuff. But then I never thought I was going to see this. I've never seen something like this. And so, yes, of course, the shopkeeper did get a lesson from me. Of course, I mean, how could I not call him and tell him? I thought, you know, maybe if I just suggested to him, if I just told him, that he would do something about it. But I don't know. He was being kind of like, do you want me to build a palace for these fishes? And we need to support abundance and the presence of abundance. We need to support abundance mindsets. We need to support and consciously support. And I'm not saying as if, you know, you have to take banners and start walking around or things like that. But in your mind, in our minds, we should want the right things. We should want to see beauty and gorgeousness. In hills and mountains and lakes and ponds where all of these creatures can be free. I mean, the elephants here, they always look happy because they're walking around and they're having a fun time. And the monkeys, abundance of monkeys, and they always hang out in groups. I don't know how many monkeys there are. The other day we were, you know, on the last trip when we were returning, we had to feed those monkeys in that temple, which I told you is like a temple from the Jungle Book, except that this temple is a functioning good temple Well, these monkeys, all of them, well, almost all of them, they were males also, but all the females were clutching a tiny baby monkey. So, like, season for baby monkeys, and I was feeding them bananas, and the mother monkeys with the little ones, they helped themselves to quite a few. And when you see the freedom that these animals have, the abundance of trees and the freedom that they have, and they're busy jumping around and they're happy, that's joy. That's joy. That's a vibration of joy. And when you are in the vibration of joy, when we are in the vibration of joy, the feeling of it and the presence of it is so huge. It is so huge. And when we support everything that spells abundance in capital letters, then we are basically flowing in that energy. So obviously the other day, even though we had the car and we had the driver, but it's not that we took the car and driver and we went somewhere on some nice trip. No. We were in a very crowded place. Very crowded. Bad traffic, unruly traffic, very crowded place. And that place showed us what such a place can contain, what it can contain. It showed us. And this is completely opposite to when the places that we normally choose to go to, full of abundance and greenery and vast roads and unoccupied places and farmlands and all of this, what a contrast. And we will be going in a money manifestation soon, and we want to take a couple of minutes break, listen to some music, and we're coming back soon. But we're going to be playing the Thunder God songs simply because, you know what? This God is really, really important to us. And so we want to celebrate him, and we're going into Thunder God part one, which is the theme. This is Sugandhi Iyer. I'm hoping you're going to be there when I come back. So hold on tight. Sisuka on the Ireful, the Joyful Manifestation Show. Welcome back. We're into money manifestation, work and career. And we're wondering, what has everyone been doing to improve their work and career energy? What is it? Any specific step? The universe does not like voids. So if it finds a void, it's going to try to fill it. And they say, remember that if you make a void in your closet, then you're making space for someone to enter your life. And that's normally used in love. People use this. They create a space in their wardrobe. And they say, okay, this half is going to belong to the person who's going to marry me. So then what they do is they take all their clothes, they put it on one side, and they say, okay, this half, we're going to leave for the soulmate. And then the universe, because it doesn't like voids, it's going to come and fill it up with something. But then, if you take it to money, if you take it to money, you can use this principle for money also. Start a bank account. Of course, you know, everybody has bank accounts now, but start one in which you're going to be, say, putting your savings. And you know how they allow you to sometimes, certain banks allow you to name your account? Like a title. You can give it a particular title that you feel would describe that account. You could even start a business account. And trust me, most banks are not going to be asking you for proof of business. You can start a business account. They allow you to do that. Most banks do. And you don't have to show that you have a business. And you can name it something and say, okay, this is where the money from my business is going to go. You can start a particular savings account, which could be for home purchase. And you can say, I'm going to be putting all the money that I make, the extra money that I make, into this account. And then you will see that, I think you got the gist of the idea. So you can use this any way that you want. Once this account is empty, I mean, you are going to start with empty, right? Except for the basic deposit that you put to start the account. So the universe, if it sees an empty account, it's going to start to fill it up. It's going to not want this empty space. And you can soon see these accounts fill up with money. But also, you will feel motivated to do things towards your dream, towards a goal. So if you start a business account and you name it something that would indicate what a title, then what would happen is that something in your energy field will start working. It'll get triggered. And you will end up taking steps towards that business, even if you've not started it at all. If you haven't started your business, you don't even have a plan, you don't know what you're going to be doing business, you know, what type of business you want. Even if that's the case, ideas are going to pop up. You might wake up in the morning with an idea. Some processing might happen while you're sleeping. You know, sometimes they say that, oh, our energy meets other people when we're sleeping. And so things can happen. And we can wake up with a good idea in the morning. Of course, you need to sort it out to see if it's a good idea. And then you will feel guided. And especially if you do ask your angels to help you and your higher self, please help me. Or if you believe in somebody, you can call on their energy and they will come and help you. And you will see that you're going to be taking steps towards the fulfillment of that objective. And you might end up suddenly finding that you have extra money to put into a savings account for a home. You might have extra money actually start something, a type of business that you want to start. And I do want to explain something though. Remember I said that if you ask me what are the things I can do without to save money, and my mind is not going to come up with anything, basically. So patterns of behavior, patterns of expenses, which are already in place, which have been in place for some time. My mind is not going to give me ideas on how to cut down on that. But here I want to explain between being spendthrift and at the same time enjoying products and services. So if the focus is on throwing money, just for the sake of throwing money, then what'll happen is as a person keeps throwing money, more of throwing money will come because it's a habit. But if it's about enjoying certain services and products, more of that is what is going to come. And then in that case, you might even get something at a discount. Do you see what I'm saying? The energy should go behind enjoying these services and products rather than just simply throwing money. Just simply throwing money would ensure that there is a lot of outflow of money, but nothing really productive happening there. Nothing even where we've like fictitious Jane could be throwing tons of money out the window. But she may not really be getting anything in return. She may not really be enjoying it. So, waste of money. That's money waste. Now, if you focus on products and services and you say, it is not the act of spending money that I find enjoyable, but it is the services and products that I find enjoyable, then the universal support goes towards that, and you might even end up getting discounts. You might end up getting deals even without you searching for it. Because now the focus is on enjoying the products and services. So it could be a $2,000 product originally, but you might end up getting it at $1,500 or $1,000. I'm just giving an example. And so, this is not about spending money. This is about the product slash service and the energy of that product and service coming around fictitious Jane in a thick flow. So, then again, this goes to what you focus on expands to create your reality, like attracts like. The law of attraction principles and us flowing the right energy of enjoyment towards these products and services. And so once the universe knows that, oh my God, she really likes this, it's going to ensure a continuous flow of these products and services at a discounted rate, even because the universe is not looking at the money. It's looking at the product and service and soup. When we talk about cutting down expenses, then what happens is a person then starts to focus on cutting, cutting, cutting. And so now the universe is going to help this person have a really elongated experience, long, long periods of the enjoyment of cutting down. So some people really feel happy when they've cut down on things. So their enjoyment comes from cutting down and not from the actual product or service. Do you see what I'm saying? There is a difference over here. There's that enjoyment of just throwing money at something and not getting much in return. So here the enjoyment is in flinging vast amounts, throwing vast amounts of money out the window. That is where their attraction factor is. That's where the feelings are focused. And then some other people keep cutting down. So they feel satisfaction when they've just saved $10. So then what happens is more of that happens. So this person will then have to cut down on this, cut down on that, cut down on this, and then resulted feelings associated with cutting down. So now the enjoyment is, or the feeling of validation, satisfaction, fulfillment, all of this comes from, yay, I saved $50 today. Now, third one, which is the actual correct one, is the enjoyment of products and services. Here, what happens is the joy comes from having these very nice products and services. That's where the fulfillment, joy, contentment, happiness, all of these vibrations are connected with these products and services. So, what the universe does is it'll take care of the finances. Somehow, fictitious Jane will get the money. Somehow, she'll get a good deal. Somehow, these products and services are made to flow to her in a continuous stream. And now she doesn't have to, like, her fulfillment is not from cutting down. Her fulfillment is not from throwing money out the window. But because she's focused on the products and services, the universe will make sure that an abundance of these products and services flow to fictitious Jane and they take care of the finances. Fictitious Jane does not have to worry about cutting down. She doesn't have to worry about anything. No wasted money. No, because there is going to be full satisfaction and full contentment coming from the actual product and services. The law of attraction is really important. It's really important. What we derive satisfaction from is being recorded. It's being recorded by the universe. Vibrations are flowing. So let's say somebody says, you know, I threw a lot of money out the window, but I threw a lot of money, but I didn't get any satisfaction from the product or service. And the universe is going, yo, you're getting your satisfaction from the action of throwing money. That is where your energy is going. That is the feeling that is filling you, motivating you, the act of throwing money. And then you're wondering, oh, how come whatever I buy is not great? And then the second person is like, I am cutting so much. I saved $10 of this. I saved $100 of this. I saved $50 of this. But I don't seem to actually save money. Also, whatever it is that I'm saving on, I'm not getting that much satisfaction from the product or service. Because after all, even if she did shave off $20 of an expense. She did spend $80 on something. And, you know, even if she's so cheap, she doesn't want to spend $80, this person, on something that has value of $80 or $100. Let's say she's just in the range of 20 or 10. And she's saying to herself, I saved off $5, I saved off $10, but I did not get the satisfaction from the other $10 that I spent. It's because her source of joy is the act of cutting down. It's not the actual product or service that she's buying. But if we're going to be focusing on the product and service, and that is the source of the joy that we're looking at, the universe takes care of the finance part of it. So there will not be an overflow of money. There will be no need to constantly cut corners and snip here, snip there. And if you apply it to your job, to work, as a person focuses on the work that he's doing and gets joy from that, the universe is going to take care of the finances connected to that, meaning that this person is going to enjoy his job so much, more of the job will come to him. There's going to be an abundance of the job. And as that contentment and joy in that work type of work increases, the universe will also make sure that since there's already a supply of money from this job, as a person sees this supply of money increase, because he's getting satisfaction from his job, more of it shall come to him. There is going to be some money coming in from the job. There's going to be satisfaction of this money growing. More of it will come. So a lot of what we focus on as to the object of satisfaction and contentment is what is going to be growing, and it is the signals that we send that really matters. You know, we're going to be entering soulmate manifestation, love and sex. We want to take a couple of minutes break, listen to some music, and yes, this is Thunder God Part 2. And we're celebrating Thunder God today. The sun has not yet come up. It's still a lot of clouds outside. It's very beautiful. And we do want to celebrate the provider of it all, Thunder God. This is Agandhi Iyer. I'll be meeting you back in a couple of minutes. I'm hoping you're going to be there. I'll be back soon, so hold on tight.
Joyful manifestation, love and sex. Love. Joyful manifestation. We'll be right back.
Gentlemen.
Hi, this is Sugandhi Iyer for the Joyful Manifestation Show. Welcome back. We're into soulmate manifestation now, love and sex. And we were talking about the fact that the universe would always fill up a void. It doesn't like empty spaces. It'll fill it up with something. And so that's why when a person is looking for their love or wants to attract love, they do these small things like creating space in their wardrobe for their other half. And then the universe would fill it up. Some other people, what they do is, this is the principle of the void. The universe will always try to fill up a void. What some other people do is, so this is the principle of the void, the universe filling up the void. But then again, I'm saying it again, what some other people do is they actually trigger the like attracts like principle. And then they start to keep a toothbrush for the other half. A toothbrush, some home slippers, slippers to wear at home, a bathrobe, toiletries, a couple of t-shirts or a couple of tops. You know, if a guy's trying to get a girl to marry him. And some clothing. And then some people even, and we've done this before, you know, some beer, if the guy likes beer. A couple of cans. A cozy armchair where you think he's going to be sitting down and watching his favorite sports. And some snacks that you think he's going to like. A couple of it into the freezer. Or, you know, if it's not something that, if it's something that is like potato chips or something like that, then a bag or two. It all depends on how you feel motivated. And if it's a woman that a man's trying to attract, maybe something that the woman would like, for example, her favorite perfume, or what you think is a favorite perfume, can buy a little bit of that. You have these small sample ones, or you can splurge on a bigger one. Again, some combs, hair dryer, maybe a dressing table that you think she would love to sit at. And, you know, if somebody doesn't want to splurge on that, there's certain things that a person can do that does not cost that much money just to trigger her energy. Trigger her energy with what she would like. Trigger his energy with what he would like. So there are two things here. One is creating a void, completely empty. And the universe would feel that it has to fill up that space. And what fictitious Jane has to do is she has to be stubborn here. And, you know, she shouldn't say that, oh, you know, the space, I've created it 3 months ago and it's still not full. I'm not going to leave it empty anymore. I'm going to fill it up. No, maybe the universe was just getting ready to fill it up with that person already. You see, patience matters. It could be that the plant was just ready to come out. The seedling, you know, was just ready to come out of the ground, and a person gets impatient. Says, you know, I created this void and this, I'm just using half of my wardrobe. I'm sacrificing over here for this unknown person, for this person who's not even talking to me properly. Doesn't even spend time talking to me or looking my way or anything like that. And I'm still keeping half of the wardrobe for this person. And I'm not going to do this anymore. And so they get this false sense of empowerment, self-empowerment, you know. Can be a person's friend or it can be a person's enemy. And they said, no, I'm not leaving this empty any longer. I'm taking my space back. And so, you know, this person has now filled up the space just before the universe was probably getting ready to bring in her love. And so on and so forth, you know, unless a bag of potato chips is it's going beyond the date of expiry, you know, if it's getting old or something like that. Unless something like that is happening, or a person, if you want to consume it, then replace his snacks, fictitious John snacks, replace it. If you feel it's, you know, lying on the shelf for too long and the quality is getting, could get bad. So then what you do is you replace it, but don't eat it and then leave nothing there. So if it's a void, the universe is going to fill it up. It's a principle. On the other hand, like attracts like. So you already start the presence as if he's living there. And you're getting adjusted to him. In a way, you're creating a void because you are now energetically not occupying this whole space, which is your home. But you're leaving space for this person to enter. And you're putting symbols and signs of him already being there. And so then you're triggering like attracts like principle to work for you. We're all manifestors, and we're the ones who need to take our lives into our hands and not allow something else to dictate who we are. I'm a person used to driving on empty highways, beautiful scenery. I used to drive regularly from Fremont, California to Los Angeles. I would drive from New Jersey to New York or take the train. That's not a good example there. But drive regularly in Las Vegas, you know, this side you go, you're the Grand Canyon. You go there, it's Los Angeles. And then I would drive all the way to Texas. So I'm used to that open space. I'm used to the beautiful greenery. And of course, you know, if it's Las Vegas to Grand Canyon, then you have those reddish color hills/mountains. I'm used to open spaces. I'm not going to allow, and I'm saying it in a way where I'm just saying that I'm not going to allow that traffic and darkness, you know, of that particular night to hold me back from enjoying what I normally do, which is drive around long distances, beauty, greenery, openness, fresh air. You know, the beauty, the percentage of beauty that even when I was growing up, there were farmlands right at our doorstep, literally. Mango trees in our yard and looking out at the Arabian Sea. This is what I grew up with. My school was huge, acres filled with trees, and it's not just one building or two buildings. No, there were so many fields, sports fields, and this field and that field, and so many buildings spread around a vast, vast space. And all the buildings were, you know, low buildings, nestled among trees, just acres of it. And so lunch break, we would be out and, you know, walking around and looking at this, looking at that. That's how I grew up. So basically, the amount of energy behind vast spaces, green spaces, openness is much more in percentage to this little strip or this little bit of piece of darkness that, you know, the city showed me. It's just way too small. So we also need to see, wow, what is the percentage of something in our life? How big is it? Is beauty way more then the darkness, then the crowd. So then we expand, we focus on the beauty, we build it up. We build up everything that is really good in our life. And then, you know, that triggers good fortune energy, really. And yes, the fish in the wine glass. You know, I'm so used to going to the pet shops in US and seeing even these, what are they called? Those little mouse kind of thingies. And they're going around in their wheels. They're like running around. They're jogging in the little wheels. And I see how pets are treated in. So this is a complete contrast. Of course, I'm not saying this is the case everywhere. I'm just saying this particular shop. But then already there was so much of the darkness behind it that we were walking into, literally driving into, correct? But then you come out of that and then you focus on all of this abundance, and then your mind is going to be giving power to the things that really matter and to the actually already existing good fortune and abundance. And what we focus on expands to create a reality. And so, yes, you know, we can deliberately defocus. We can deliberately move our eyes towards something that is more attractive and beautiful, and that is going to be supplying and providing and giving, and is always showing the presence of that abundance and joy. And yes, you know, joyful manifestation, it really does matter. It really does matter, because these vibrations can bring in more of the same. This is Sugandhi Iyer. You know, I did get my sign, and we need to be meeting again next Friday, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, for the Good Fortune Show. And until then, yes, we want to focus. We want to focus on everything that is signifying and symbolizing abundance. This is Sugandhi Iyer signing off for the Joyful Manifestation Show, wishing you a fantastic rest of the week and a fantastic rest of the day.
Joyful Manifestation Show is now broadcasting live on over 100 digital stations. These stations include 24 foreign stations in over 13 countries, and social media websites, which include Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. You can hear us live on iTunes, Spreaker, LA Radio FM, SoundCloud, TuneIn Radio, AHA Radio, and more. And you can always catch the podcast for the Joyful Manifestation Show on iHeartRadio, among others. Joyful Manifestation Show is heard all over the world. We'll take you where you want to go.